Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to FEM Industries Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. The statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sanghvi.
Yeah, good afternoon to everyone. Thank you, Tanvi. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, I welcome you all to the Q2 FY23 conference call for FEM Industries Limited. We will start the call with the initial comment about the results and the future outlook of the company, and then we will open the floor for question and answer. So without much delay, I hand over the call to Mr. J.K. Jain, Chairman and MD of the company. Over to you, Jain, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. I welcome you all to the Q2 FY23 earning call of the FEM Industries Limited. Joining me on today's call are Rahul Jain, Director, Rajesh Sharma, Director, Sanjeev Kumar, Senior VP Finance, Arvind Chauhan, Company Secretary, and other member of the finance team. Result and the investor presentation for Q2 FY23 have been uploaded on the stock exchange and the company website. I hope you all have gone through the same. I am pleased to report that the company has delivered a strong performance in Q2 FY23 with revenues growing by 25% year-on-year and profit growth of over 42%. Now I would like to talk a little bit about the two-wheeler industry's performance. The two-wheeler industry in Q2 FY23 recorded production volumes of 5.6 million units, which is an 8% growth on year-on-year basis and 17% on sequential basis. This growth has been driven by good monsoon, encouraging farm activities and positive consumer sentiment. The festive season has also contributed to the positive momentum. Other key driver for our industry's growth is the electric vehicle space. For H1 FY23, the EV volume has grown by 560% to 2.77 lakhs. We continue to strengthen our position in this segment, and the increased penetration of the EV should help to grow volumes going forward. Now, let me talk about the performance of your company in Q2 FY23. We continue to outperform the industries and have achieved a total income of 527 crores, which is a growth of over 25% over the same quarter last year. Sequentially, the revenue have grown 18%. EBITDA and PAT has also grown to 70 crores and 39 crores respectively, reflecting the strong operational performance of the company. LED share as percentage of the total automotive lighting has touched 47% this quarter, reflecting the trend towards the faster adoption of the technology. We have maintained that this is heading towards 60% and higher. Our key customer like Honda, TVS, Yamaha and Suzuki continue to grow, and we are closely working with them on several new projects including facelift of the existing model. Overall, as we move forward, I feel optimistic about the industry's trend. The easing of commodity prices and also the semiconductor availability should help the industry to achieve good growth in the future. With this, I hand over to Mr. Sanjeev Kumar and the finance team to update on operational performance.
Thank you, sir, and good evening to everyone. I will present the quarter two number for FY23. The company registered a total sales of ₹521.32 crore in Q2 of current financial year against ₹416.26 crore in corresponding quarter of FY22 and registering a growth of 25.24% on a year-on-year basis. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, this is an increase of 17.95% from a base of ₹441.98 crore. The EBITDA was ₹70.46 crore, translating into an EBITDA margin of 13.52% as compared to an EBITDA of ₹51.95 crore, that is 12.48% in Q2 of the previous financial year. EBITDA margins reflect the strong operational performance of the company. PAT increased by 42.51% to ₹39.12 crore as compared to ₹27.45 crore in corresponding quarter of FY22. On quarter-on-quarter basis, PAT is higher by 28.47%. During the quarter, the company has made a capex of ₹10.32 crore. We continue to be a net zero debt company. With this, I end the financial brief and now the floor is open for question and answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, you may enter star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Ashin from Equitas Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats to the team for great numbers. So the first question is that we have seen a very strong sequential growth in plastic molded and dairy mirror clearing. So could you please highlight this, what has led to that growth?
Actually the increase in overall sales and accordingly this this growth is also reflecting in the plastic as well as the dairy mirror.
Okay, so they actually they have grown 30% sequentially. So is there something which is there apart from our normal sales?
No, this is a little bit increase in the plastic you are referring, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, this is because of addition of some parts.
Okay, which OEMs?
This is for mainly for Honda. Honda and Suzuki.
Okay. I think we talked about that we are working with our existing customers for the new facelifts and new models. So firstly, talking about Yamaha, so last time we said that we are working with 10 models for them. So if you could tell us how is the launch pipeline with Yamaha, especially with respect to exports?
Yeah, these new models will be launching by next financial year and for export as well as for domestic both.
So what sort of revenue can we expect and how many models can we expect in the next 1-2 years?
Those volumes we are still expecting from our customer. It will be ramp up, but how much production will be there next year, that will be definitely be given in the next quarter only.
Okay, sir. And so, thirdly on this Hero, we have said that we launched with them from FY24. If you could give us an update on how is that progressing ahead?
Yeah, this development is in progress right now. So next year, few models will be launched and it will be continue respectively.
Okay. So thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suruchi Parmar from NX Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations, sir, for the blockbuster result. Sir, want to know 2-3 things. What is our EV contribution for this quarter?
What is our EV?
So EV is still in that range of 4 to 5%. I think what is critical to see is how many new customers are being added and how much new development is happening. Volumes are still small. So I think our, in terms of percentage sale, it will not exceed 5%.
Okay. And can you give a fair bit of idea, maybe in a 2 year time period, what can be the share in EV we can see of?
See, it will really depend on a number of factors, including government policies. You know, EV sector is going through a lot of dynamic changes in terms of, you know, the regulation around battery, the FAME subsidy. So while I think the consensus view is clearly there that EV will become very strong, but what percentage of the total market it will take and consequently our share will really depend on a number of moving parts. But I think over 2 to 3 years, if you see till 2025, a penetration of 15-odd%, 20%, that is completely possible.
Okay. Any Harley Davidson, how much sales we are doing Harley Davidson? Because we see in this H1, there is a 3-4% of export is there.
No, this actually the export is, dip is because of the lower sales in the European region. Otherwise, the Harley Davidson sales has increased, and you know the Harley Davidson is we are exporting to Thailand as well as to USA.
US, okay. So that sales for H1 was strong, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Sir, can you give this quarter-wise volume as well as realization bifurcation? What is the volume growth we achieved and realization?
This is the mix of the value and the volume. So it is difficult to give the exact volume increase for this thing.
But can we say there were a volume growth also during this quarter? Can we say that?
Yes, we can say. Yes.
Okay. Sir, two things. We are not having a presence in replacement market. It is a specific strategy, something that maybe other smaller players are doing it, but we are not doing it because of some specific reason of the management, or we have any plan to penetrate that replacement market?
So basically, as you know, in our case, we are supplying to the OEM. And we are restricted by the OEMs not to supply in the aftermarket. So that is one of the reasons that our, and moreover, we are not doing the trading like other people are doing. Whatever we are manufacturing, we are selling. We are not doing trading like other people are doing. So that is the difference.
Okay. And any other plan to move from two-wheeler cycle to four-wheeler or TV, or we will stick to two-wheeler only?
We are open for we are open and we are working on those front rows.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one on your phone. Next question is from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congrats on very good numbers. Firstly, on this Hero models from next year, are these existing models of Hero or new model launches that we are going to supply to?
These are all new model launches.
Okay. And okay, so it will be a combination of LED and halogen both.
These are all LEDs.
Okay. Basically, in terms of, we probably have provided earlier calls as well. Can you provide some perspective on whatever models are in the development right now on lighting side? What proportion of that would be LEDs up now?
Total, you are talking about the total number of the projects and how much is the percentage of the LED in there?
Yeah.
I think this
almost 100% the new projects are there with 100% because most of them are EVs and EVs are all LEDs.
Okay. But it's like say existing OEM like Honda Motorcycle or TVS or Suzuki and all, with them there must be a mix of LED and LED, right?
Yeah, nowadays the trend is towards LED only.
So as we have shown this year, by next year we are expecting more than 60% convert into LED.
Okay, and this, when you say that this is probably, this is always in terms of revenue, in terms of volume it will still be much lower, right? As of now, broadly I'm asking, what would be the content increase when you go from a, say, headlamp of halogen to LED in most of the models that we are supplying to?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the management line reconnected.
Before, I was asking that, like, broadly, when you move from halogen to LED headlamp in most of the models, leave aside high-end models, what is the content increase in terms of value?
This will be around 60%.
Clear on?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the management members reconnected. So you may continue now.
Yeah, sorry, apologies, some technology issue. Please go ahead with the question again, please.
The participant is not in the queue. We'll move to the next question. The next question is from the line of Jatin from RTL Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, sir. A couple of questions. So one, if I look at your margins over the last few years, they've been very close to, been very consistent at around 12%. Now this quarter, with the volumes moving up in what is, I assume, a seasonally strong quarter, we have seen margins move to 13.5%. Now, are the margins, can they sustain here, or you know, as this is a seasonally strong quarter, and for the full year we should expect around 12% only?
So, you know, you're right, we've always guided to 12.5% to 13% this quarter. Significantly beaten that number, and we've hit more like 13.5. Now, that is obviously clearly driven by the significant volume jump that you see in the overall sales volume, which actually helps in absorption of the full operating cost. So, I think for us, we will continue to guide around 13% range going forward. But you've seen our intent quarter over quarter. I think operationally, we like to do the best and get the best out of the whole margin. But I think from overall guidance, it still remains around 13% with minor fluctuations every quarter.
Sure. So if the two-wheeler industry, which now seems to be in a recovery path, if we continue to see strong volume traction, then there is no reason why, you know, costs will go significantly higher. You will maintain a control on costs, and then volumes will decide margins.
Absolutely. But I mean, the controllables which are with us, they will be well within the range. The uncontrollables, which is the overall industry, as you highlight, if the industry goes well, then there's no reason why we are not able to sustain these higher margins. So, you know, it could be that we could beat this margin, yeah.
Sure. And I know, you know, this is the OEMs kind of decide, and but your sense on where, you know, when the two-wheeler industry could hit its previous peak of FY19 from what you speak with your OEM customers?
So what you've seen this year is an encouraging trend. The first, you know, at least the time, whether sequential growth or Y-on-Y growth, you're seeing that the industry is recovering because of all the onslaughts that were there. And as you rightly mentioned, it had hit a peak just before COVID. So it will take a while to get back to that peak level, but I think we are firmly on that path to get to that level. So there is no reason why we should not get there.
Sure. And could you share the share of business numbers with different customers like you share usually on your calls?
Yes. So we are giving the share of business with our four top customers.
Yes.
HMSI, this headlamp, it is actually same, 40%, because this is on the full year basis. And tail lamp is 76%, winker is 85%, rearview mirror is 100%, we are sole supplier. Even for RR and position lamp, we are 100% with HMSI. For TVS, the headlamp is 73%, tail lamp is 69%, winker is 82%, and rearview mirror is 55%. For DRL, and we are 100% with TVS, and license lamp share is 50%. Yamaha, for headlamp, it is 91%, tail lamp 64%, and winker 5%, rearview mirror is 32%. Yamaha position lamp, we are 50%. For Suzuki, our headlamp share is 80%, tail lamp is also 80%, and winker is 23%. Rearview mirror is 100%, we are sole supplier to them. And same is the RR, the reflector, 100%.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Savla from Multi-Act. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to ask on the LED mix. We have been guiding that, you know, the LED mix will gradually improve. So based on the current interactions with your customers and the order pipeline that you have, the, you know, 50-odd models which are working, plus the EV customers. So 2 years down the line, you know, what could be the level of LED mix in our total LED lighting revenue?
Yeah, around 60% we are expecting.
In next 2 years.
In next 2 years.
Okay. And so this is based on the existing models which we are working, or this is a ballpark number that you have?
Put together all. Overall.
Okay, okay. And, sir, when we say that LED mix would increase to 60%, does that mean that on an absolute level, the non-LED lightings will see a degrowth from this level? Or, you know, even that will grow, but at a slower rate?
Yeah. Basically, you see the trend is going towards EV, and more and more EV will be for, you know, LED lighting. And similarly, the higher model itself is for LED. So the growth is going towards LED. So there will be more and more usage of LED in future.
Okay. So, sir, my question was whether the existing revenues that you are getting from non-LED, will that sustain or even that will go down on an absolute basis?
That will, in absolute basis, see, you have to see the percentage. When the total overall lighting is 100%, the increase in LED, so the conventional will go down. But when it is not on the our company side, it is the industry trend we are talking.
Even not only the conventional. Conventional is also being affected in the near future, and those will be converted into LED.
LED, yes.
Okay. Okay, got it. And, sir, second question was on Yamaha. You know, in previous two quarters, you had indicated that, you know, there will be some slowdown in Yamaha because of the export revenue. So any outlook on that? Like, is there anything changed on that, whether we'll see a further decline in Yamaha revenues or have we won any new models for the current year?
Yeah. This year, we don't see any drop in the overall volume and revenue, wherein new models will be launched by in the first quarter of next year.
Okay. Okay. And sir, lastly, on Honda, you know, when I compare last two quarters, Honda's production growth versus our revenue growth, with respect to Honda, so there is some, you know, we are lagging somewhat the production growth. So is that because of a particular model or particular segment, say, scooters or bikes, where we are not present, because of which, you know, our growth is lagging Honda's production growth?
No, but growth is in line. Overall, if you see, it is in line with the Honda growth.
You see the current quarter, our major contribution is in the growth is from Honda. And even, you see the volume growth of Honda, we are growing very good with the Honda. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And lastly, on the current interactions with customers, how do you see, like, you know, after the festive season is done, like, how do you see the numbers panning out in, say, October, November? are you being able to, you know, kind of sustain some of the numbers or, you know, what's your outlook on that?
See, these are the industry thing, and we don't disclose about the interaction with our OEM customers.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akash Narnolia from Narnolia. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Good evening. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So, I wanted to get a clarification on, you know, the FADA numbers are very good for October. 15,70,000 odd two-wheeler vehicles got sold now. So I wanted to know, you know, because most of the supplies of these October months were done in prior to the months. So in Q2, because they got reflected in your sales bump up. We wanted to know, you know, how sustainable is the current run rate of, you know, the actual ground reality of, you know, two-wheeler sales. Because somewhere, you know, other places we are hearing, you know, the rural side is still stretched out. So wanted to get a sense about, you know, what is in the coming months, how do you see the two-wheeler sales happening? Because once the festive season gets over, what is the scenario you think is on the ground right now?
I think, you know, you will have to see the commentary of the OEMs who are actually interacting at the dealer level. From our perspective, we are guided by how their production schedule look. And obviously, the festive season, quarter two is generally better. So that is always the case that, you know, post the festive season, Q3 is slightly lower. But it remains to be seen how it plays out over the next couple of months.
Okay. And one more question regarding, you know, your you know, by this, your, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I wanted to know your diversification towards the four-wheeler side, because still, you know, you have majority of your revenue coming from the two-wheeler side. So by when can you see, you know, significant revenue coming from the four-wheeler side? Because, you know, you have been talking to a lot of players, but when can we see something coming out of the four-wheeler side, you know, in a good perspective?
We are very closely working with the customer. It is totally dependent on when this order will be clicked. So we are hopeful and will very soon will inform once we'll get the business.
Okay. As a last question, sir, in case, just hypothetical question, in case, you know, you face raw material pricing issues, do you pass on to the players on an absolute basis or keeping the margin intact, you just pass on? Like, I want to know, do you pass on the increase in an absolute basis or you keep a margin intact and you just pass on whatever it is?
Yeah. So ours is we are a part that way, which is why if you see our margins have been stable. So I think there are quarter by quarter things change, but I think we look at the overall 12-24 month outlook.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Anubha from Prescient Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So firstly, like in the EV two-wheeler space, what market share will we like have? Like, do we have a sense of that?
I think if you look at the overall numbers of EV, we just highlighted the first H1 numbers. It's still very, very small. I think the overall EV market itself is so small. So it is kind of, you know, at this point of time to calculate market share may not be something that will achieve much. But what we do want to tell you is that I think it's been highlighted in the past that there are more than 20 EV OEMs that we are working with in terms of development, in terms of actual supply. So that is a significant number. And if you look at the top 10 EV players right now, we will be present in a majority of them. So we have significant amount of traction in this space. But I think overall market share, you will allow a couple of quarters or perhaps another year before this market matures for us to be able to point a certain number.
Get that. And sir, with the EV two-wheeler volumes like moving up, have you seen any like new competitor coming in or the OEMs themselves trying to diversify the vendors? So how has the competitive landscape been?
So lighting is a fairly technology intensive industry, and you know, this is not an industry where if the market expands or it is more attractive, new players can get in so easily, and which is why you see the landscape is limited to a handful of players and we are the leader in this segment. So we don't think anybody can break through. It requires a lot of technology, a lot of investment, a lot of number of years of experience before you can actually break through. So no, answer is no. No, no competition we are seeing right now.
So I get that, but my question was from the point of view of existing competitors like Lumax is there or Unominta is there, I think in lighting. So from an incremental point of view, have you seen like them, like any competitor getting more market share or
growing business?
Okay. Good. And sir, how? Sorry, please.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And sir, the EV two-wheeler, you mentioned that it's all LED lighting. And so like product comparison, will the realization be better in EV two-wheelers or compared to your conventional OEMs, or will it be like lower? Yeah.
Yes, see, in the LED lighting, all the customers are paying the tooling cost. So the overall development cost is not being paid by company. This is the question. Is realization. And realization will also be, because it is totally dependent on the volume, and that will definitely realize by this way.
And on your previous question on competition, you know, clearly there will be existing players who would continue to fight. I mean, the names you mentioned, there is competitive. The leaders and continue to hold that leadership position that we are going to.
Yes. And the last question is that what has been the trend of realization in like the LED auto lighting? Has there been a smaller realization and like in general lighting, like the realization over the years has like fallen significantly. So do you see that kind of a trend where like realizations in auto LED lighting can also fall significantly over the years? Or,
To answer about this your question, actually there is no comparison between the luminaries and this thing. Rather, the realization is increasing because of the new technology and the improvement in the, you know, optical sensor. So that realization will keep increasing.
And that has been the trend historically?
Yes, because even the more complex product is there, sir. Headlamp is for the big model, the realization is even higher.
Good. Thanks. So,
the trend is towards, your question, trend is towards the LED.
Okay. Thanks, that's all from
me. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sangvi from Monarch Network Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and congratulations for a very, very good result. Sir, one of the line items in the financials, the employee benefit cost, has been higher Q-on-Q also, and from the trends that we are seeing for the past few quarters. So anything one-off over there, or this trend will be continued, if you can explain on this?
See, if you see our employee cost is 12.08% in this quarter, and as the sales volume has grown, so definitely there is increase. So it depends on the sales. Otherwise, there is no one-off kind of thing in this employee cost.
Okay. And on the trend of the raw material cost and the realization, if you can explain anything, I mean, how are they moving? Any price hikes or, I mean?
It's means you're asking about the price hike or what?
Yeah, so raw material cost trends or the realization, I mean, how are they moving, anything on that?
There is softening in the this raw material, and this is always pass through. It is not a problem for us. There may be a lag of one or two quarters, but it is always pass through.
Okay. And is Ather a customer for us now? I mean, do we have a presence over there in the electric vehicle?
No, space? We are not with Ather.
Okay.
We are not with Ather.
Okay. Fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinayak Mohta from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congrats on a great set of numbers. I have majorly 2-3 questions. So could you give me an update on what kind of capacity utilization we are running on currently and what kind of additional capacities are we looking to put maybe in the next 1 year, 1.5, 2 years?
See, currently we are almost 80% plus capacity working in this quarter. And what we are saying that we are adding the capacities in our south factories because we are feeling little bit, you know, more business opportunity over there, and so depending upon the situation we are increasing the capacity. Hello.
Suruchi, do you...
Hello.
Oh, okay. We'll move on to the next question, which is from the line of Suruchi Parmar. Please go ahead.
Sir, this quarter, cash balance is around 130 odd crore something. So do we have any plan to use for this? Because we were doing some 50 crore capex. So has this capex been done, expensed out?
Yeah, so total capex is in the range of 50 to 75 crore. That is ongoing, that we have already announced both South India and some of the other, you know, we are supplementing with some machinery. But beyond that, we are also looking at the opportunity within our...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Sir, your voice is breaking up and sounding...
Significantly.
Voice is not clear.
This is the operator here. Members of the management,
yes.
Your audio was a little feeble.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear us?
Now we can hear you, yeah. Yes, sir, we can hear you. Please proceed.
Yeah, so we I don't know if you got the full sense of what we said. What we said was that beyond the organic capex that we have talked about, there are other opportunities which we are looking at, and if those materializes, they will involve an outlay from the cash that we have. So we are in the process of evaluating a number of opportunities.
Okay. Sir, what would be our gross margin this quarter and H1?
The EBITDA margin is already reflected. This is 13.52%.
Mm. Yeah, that is available. Gross margin, do we keep a gross margin?
We do based on the EBITDA margin. This is our main benchmark actually.
Okay, sir. What was our ROE for this H1? ROC, return on capital employed.
Sir, ROC is given in the yearly basis. This is given in 20% range already in the presentation.
For 22, correct? Not for H1.
Yeah, FY 22. Yes, completed year.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Arora from Safe Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So you gave the share of, your other, like, four customers, the HMSI, TVS, Yamaha, Suzuki. Could you do the same for Royal Enfield also?
See, we share this wallet share on full year basis. So it is, and we give only for our top four customers.
Sure. And would you be able to share that later?
Yes, we can share. Yeah. Definitely.
And the second question is regarding, I just wanted to understand, how the margin profile of new products like rear view mirrors, is different from you know, our conventional lighting and LED lighting? You know, how would the margins be different in new products, you know?
See, please understand this, even the rear view mirror, it is our old the old product line, and all the products goes to the similar, I mean, the same customer. So our margins are on the growth level is what we got it 12 to 13%, and now this quarter 13.5%. It is on the overall. So you can, we can say on all products it is on the same range.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinayak Mohta from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I got dropped off. So I was just continuing on the CAPEX question. I wanted to ask, how much is the total CAPEX that you're adding in South as a percentage of your total capacity right now?
This it is in South we are having 4 factories. So it is, we are not giving in the factory wise capacity. It is giving on the overall company wise, and there is always a addition in the every factory. So it is very difficult to give with the factory wise.
Okay, and as and when your LED share will be increasing, like you said, in the next 2 years it will go to 60%. Do we expect a margin expansion on the back of LED as well? Does LED have a higher margin relative to other products?
See, as you know, the LED has the higher realization in comparison to the conventional. Almost 2.8, it starts from 2x and even go to higher. So higher sales will definitely give an overall improved margin. But as far as the product wise you are saying, it will remain in the same range.
But your company level margin will continue to move higher because the realizations are much higher in LED, right?
We will definitely try to maintain it in a, at higher level.
Understood. And one last question: can you give any growth guidance for the next 2 to 3 years? About given how you are looking, given your order book, and how you, given you are expecting that 2019 levels to be breached as well on the two-wheeler volume, and EV penetration is increasing as well. So any internal targets that management has set for itself with regards to growth outlook for the next 2 to 3 years?
We don't give specific guidance. However, we've said that in the past, and we have the track record that we've always outperformed the industry. And given where the industry and the whole EV cycle is, we feel confident that I think a 15-20% growth is the growth target that we should set across for us.
So 15-20% is like the, you know, you're expecting the industry to grow by. So
we are saying at the company level, we believe 15-20% growth is something that we should really get to.
Understood. Okay, great. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and 1. Next question is from the line of Amarnath Bhakat from Ministry of Finance of Oman. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Can you tell me what is your this railway business is all about, and at the moment how big it is as a percentage of your total revenue? Hello,
am I audible? Yes, sir, you were audible. Members of the management, please confirm if you are able to hear us.
Yeah, our apologies. We are now getting some. Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, one division of your business is this supplying LED display panels to railways and buses and all those things. At the moment, how big it is, and what is the percentage of your total revenue coming from this size of the business?
See, our major business is coming from two-wheeler segment, and we are at, all other segments are quite lower at this stage.
Yeah, but do you see the prospect on this? Because we are hearing that the Ministry of Railways are now very aggressive in giving and modernizing different kind of stations and everything where your lights could be used. So are you getting the same thing?
The company has always been an automotive-focused company, so while we did get into this segment, but we didn't make much headway in terms of, you know, winning significant orders. So I think our focus will remain automotive for the foreseeable future. And right now, you know, the numbers on this segment are quite minuscule, probably under 1% type in terms of where we are on the total revenue. So we will remain a completely automotive-focused company.
Okay. Now, since we are focusing on more on the AV side, can you give us a sense that out of your total revenue, how much we are getting totality from the EV, when EV two-wheeler or four-wheeler manufacturing side, how much in the percentage in the total revenue?
Yeah, so the percentages are still low. We are working with a whole lot of OEM, but in terms of percentage, we will be around 4%.
So at the moment, this is 4% approximately.
That's right.
And that segment is growing faster than your regular segment, right, in terms of growth?
Yes, on a very small base, it's growing like, I mean, it's grown 500% in H1, but that base is very, very small. What remains to be seen is how quickly it can go to a significant base and then grow from there.
Yeah. The purpose of asking the question is, I'm sure the margin of those side of the business probably is higher than your regular side of the business. So the more the proportion of that business increase to your total revenue, hopefully it will contribute to your overall margin as well, right? Not necessarily now, maybe 2-3 years down the line.
I mean, as of now, at least the margin is not higher. It is probably a similar range. But for us, whether it is EV or a ICE, our product line is kind of at a similar margin level across.
Okay. And sir, can you tell me that how many EV suppliers you are the sole supplier? We know Ola, you are a sole supplier. Is there any other EV where you are the sole supplier?
Yeah, we are as of now supplying to Okinawa, we are supplying to Revolt, we are supplying to 22 Motors Bounce. These are all sole suppliers.
Okay, so 3-4 suppliers you have, you are the sole supplier.
Yeah.
Okay. So one more little side on the export. Now, as of now, I think the export is very minuscule or maybe negligible. Now, those OEMs who are present in India, do they ask you to supply to their production in other countries as well? And how much it is now?
Of course, every OEM customers have their own CKD warehouses and departments. So all the products which they are exporting to other countries are buying directly by them to their warehouse, and they are exporting directly to their subjective companies or destinations.
Yeah, but do you also have some share there?
It is difficult to give because they supply after getting from us, and we don't segregate it. But on some estimation basis, Yamaha's share of the export is quite significant, around.
Yamaha TVS is for.
So Yamaha
TVS, Suzuki.
Yeah. Every company is exporting right now, but they are taking the material from us is in their own name, and thereafter they are exporting to their subjective companies.
Okay, thank you. Now, just in the previous participants, you say that your capacity utilization is already at 80%, and if I see your capex incurring almost in the last 6-7 years, you incurred a heavy capex, and your gross work reached to 941. Now, if I assume 15-20% growth, what you are estimating for the next few years, that means very quickly you need to have a more gross block and capex to be added. So, can we get a sense that what kind of capex you are planning for the future, except that 20-30 crore generally you spent? Any major capex planning considering the growth outlook you are providing?
Yeah, so we've already guided that 50 to 75 crore capex has been kind of already earmarked. There is work happening on that. That will definitely happen. Over and above that also, there are several opportunities which we are exploring. which are more related to adjacent product lines or within our product line or within our customer base, what else can we do? Any of these that come up will involve a significant capex because, you know, there's a new factory, land building, all of it to be set up. So besides the 50-75 crore, there could be a large number. I think the situation will become clear by the end of this financial year on the full capex plan.
So this 50-70 crore, I'm sure you are planning to fund through your internal accruals, right?
Correct.
You have that much of cash.
That's right.
And anything bigger come, probably that is the time you may think about some kind of a debt if the cash is not sufficient.
I mean, we can look at that, but as of now, our cash flows are such that we can fund those bigger plans as well. But I think it's important for it to be crystallized first in terms of the quantum before we make that call.
In respect of one more regarding this, your pricing part of it, I understand this is simply pass-through mechanism that whatever cost increase or decrease is happening, generally eventually it is passed on to the OEM. So I'm just trying to understand that in case you guys are becoming effective or very efficient and you reduce the cost side compared to your competitors, how the OEM is going to recognize that fact? I mean, if it is a cost plus model, so if you reduce the cost, they will always consider the reduced cost and plus your maybe some kind of an agreed margin and accordingly the sell price is fixed. So I'm trying to understand how your efficiency in your organization is being recognized and as well as it is getting in terms of extra sales price from your OEM.
See, the major point is because the raw material is well settled and raw material prices are being controlled for all the suppliers by the customer only. Process cost, because since we are working since long within this industry and product ranges with the injection molding or other processes which are being coldly related with the lighting industries and our product industries are being well validated by the customer. And we have to focus on the customer specification, which is most important. And prices are being converted based on that only.
So if your efficiency, so for example, you're efficient on your labor side, you're efficient on your productivity side. I'm not talking about the raw material side. I'm only talking about the profit side. So if you become efficient compared to the market, and I'm sure you will as you grow and your capacity increase, how that will be coming to the revenue side? Because the customer is generally very sticky in terms of giving the price at a fixed margin over a cost.
I think, you know, that efficiency is exactly what differentiates us, which is why we have industry-leading margins, even for the product. Because that's not because we are getting anything different from the customer, but because we are able to manage our operations better.
So that is how probably your margin is better than others. Yes.
Yes.
That is reflecting there. Okay. And last one, probably. This inorganic opportunity, are you guys a little serious about looking into some of the inorganic opportunities available in the market, or you are quite silent about it?
I think for us, the levers are growth. Again, the line got disconnected. Please go ahead. You were asking.
Yeah, I was just asking about this inorganic opportunity. You were saying something.
That's right. So on the inorganic, I mean, clearly we are open. There are a lot of opportunities which we are seeing, evaluating, but what will result into a deal, it's difficult to say, but I think clearly we are completely open to what is happening in the market. And beyond that, the organic path also is good. However, I think we are in a position where if the market presents something interesting, we'll be happy to take it.
Yeah. Do you have a concept of kind of a content per vehicle, that kind of a calculation that... or it is an individual basis, like other OEM, other suppliers, they always have a kind of a content per vehicle, that whether that has been in an increasing trend, do you have some kind of a calculation like that?
So I think what you have to see is that we have kind of restricted ourselves in our this journey over the years around two-wheeler, where because we wanted to make sure that we are a leader in this segment, which we are. Now, within this opportunities, as you rightly pointed out, whether content per vehicle, which is what we said, product adjacency or other areas, both are something which we are looking at.
Yeah, but sorry, sir, this part is not very clear to me. I'm trying to understand the sense that as the industry grows, as you go to more and more customers, the product you manufacture and supply to them, is that for each vehicle, is your product is going, claimed is going higher, or it is stagnant, or it is going lower in terms of the per vehicle you supply? Say, for example, you go to Yamaha or take anybody. So per vehicle, year after year, what you supply for per vehicle, that contained value is increasing?
Yeah, of course. If we see from conventional to LED and the technology which is being implemented in Yamaha is of course increasing the overall value.
So as it is growing, your content is also increasing.
Yeah.
That is revenue per vehicle,
yes.
What you're supplying to cars, that is also increasing.
Yeah, it's also increasing. Revenue per vehicle is also increasing because the value is increasing, volume is increasing, it is increasing based on that only.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
For giving the patiently answering all these questions. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Yes. Thank you everyone for participating in the con call. I do hope that we have been able to reply all your queries adequately. We are available for any additional question you may have. Thanks and good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.